welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Christian man urged his friend to go to hear a preacher whom he liked very much. The friend agreed to attend. Afterward, the Christian asked, "Well, what did you think of the preacher?" "I didn't think anything of him," was the reply. The Christian was disappointed until the friend added, "I was so busy thinking of Christ, of the Christ whom he preached, that I did not have time to think of the preacher. And now his Savior is my Savior too." With this study of the Emmaus Bible Hour, we're going to be talking about the character of Christ. Every once in a while, we see a person that exhibits some of the qualities of Christ. We want to seriously consider these qualities on this broadcast. This is Lesson 6 of the course Guide to Christian Growth, a correspondence course of the Emmaus Bible School. This course is available for study in your home. Be sure to take down our address at the close of the program if you're interested, and then write to us. Now Lesson 6 and page 1 of that lesson, The Character of Christ. Henry Drummond once wrote, "To become like Christ is the only thing in the world worth caring for. The thing before which every ambition of man is folly, and all lower achievement vain." One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to reproduce Christ in every believer. When he is given absolute sway, he will develop certain virtues or graces known as the fruit of the Spirit. Let's look up those verses in Galatians that speak of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll find them in the 5th chapter of Galatians, and the 22nd and 23rd verses. Again, that's Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Let me give you an assignment. Please memorize these verses. Galatians 5, 22, and 23. As branches bear fruit by receiving life and sustenance from the vine, so Christians bear the fruit of the Spirit by abiding in Christ. Notice John chapter 15 and verse 5. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and the 5th verse. The Lord Jesus speaking, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now let's take a close look at the fruit of the Spirit. First, love. One of the best definitions of love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "It was perfectly displayed in our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus you can substitute the name Christ for the word charity or love in verses 4 through 8 of that chapter." And the passage will read just beautifully. Let's try that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read verse 4. Now let's substitute Christ for charity or love, whichever word that you have in your Bible. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. "Christ suffereth long and is kind. Christ envieth not. Christ vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up." To find out whether you are characterized by love, substitute your name for the word charity or love in this same passage, and then see how it reads. The supreme example of love is found at Calvary's cross, where the holy, sinless Son of God died for a world of rebellious, defiant sinners. Let's pause right here in our short program and consider the quality of love in your life. If you have your Bible open there before you, why not read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 again, and in verses 4 through 8, put your name in place of charity or love, and then place the name of Christ there, and see how much better it reads. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're glad to have you with us. Just now we're studying the course, Guide to Christian Growth. We'd like you to have your own personal copy of this course. Our address will be given at the close of the program. Also, we encourage you to send your questions to us. We are considering the fruit of the Spirit as manifest in the life of the Lord Jesus. We've talked about love, now joy. This does not refer to a light-hearted, giddy sentimentality, but to a deep-seated contentment and satisfaction with God and with His dealings. And thus, although the Lord Jesus was the man of sorrows, yet in every moment of His life there was true joy. His joy was both present and future. With regards to the present, He could say, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me, and to accomplish His work." Then as to the future, it is written of Him, and this is Hebrews 12:2, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." That reference was Hebrews 12:2. There was joy in the hearts of Paul and Silas, even though they had been thrown into jail at Philippi. It's recorded, at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now let's talk about peace. This is the inner calm and composure that enables the trusting soul to rise above circumstances and see God as the one who permits, orders, and disposes all. The Savior gives us a lovely picture of peace in His storm experience. The boat is tossed by the storm. The disciples are in panic, practically in hysterics. But the Lord Jesus is asleep. He's completely unruffled. We should enjoy the peace of Christ. That is the peace which He enjoyed as a man in this world. His peace is promised to all whose minds are stayed upon Jehovah. And the Spirit of God seeks to develop it in every child of God. We are reminded of Isaiah 26:3. That's the 26th chapter of Isaiah, the 3rd verse. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We should add that peace here might also mean harmonious relations between a believer and those with whom he comes in contact, particularly his brethren in Christ. The next one is long-suffering. This means patience, the ability to endure affliction without complaining, to suffer wrong without retaliating, to be annoyed without becoming angry, It was the long-suffering of the Son of God which enabled him to pray from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, gentleness. This is the quality of considerateness that reminds us of the Lord Jesus at the time when his disciples forbade the mothers of Salem to bring their children to him. His answer was, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He was always accessible, always easy to be entreated, soft-spoken, courteous, and mild-mannered. In worldly circles, this gentleness is often considered a mark of weakness, but for the Christian, it is a sign of greatness. And then consider the fruit of goodness. The story of the Good Samaritan tells us what goodness is. It is kindness shown to others in the name of Christ. It is doing good to those who cannot repay you. It's living to minister unto others in their need. Next, we come to faith. Several meanings might be associated with this word. We have faith in God, which is a calm, settled confidence in a loving Heavenly Father. Then there's faith in others, a readiness to believe that which is good, and a hesitancy in accepting an evil report. And finally, there's fidelity or faithfulness. This is truthfulness to one's word, honesty, dependency. Our next to the last one is meekness. When Jesus Christ girded himself and washed his disciples' feet, he gave us an example of meekness that we can never forget. He had the infinite resources of God at his disposal, yet he was truly humble. He did not seek a place for himself, nor was he occupied with himself, but took the lowest place. Finally, let's consider temperance. This refers to self-control. It applies particularly to our passions and appetites. We are to be pure and continent, abstaining from lusts, practicing moderation in legitimate things. The Christian should know the meaning of a disciplined life. If we are to use rightly the powers God has given us, we must have them under control of our will, in dependence on the Holy Spirit of God. No evil habit will hold us in its grip. May it be our highest ambition that Almighty God may form Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thus we reluctantly close our study on the character of Christ. Be sure to memorize Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Also, those of you who already have the study book, be sure to do the exam at this time and mail it to us. Stay tuned for our address. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.